Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. Oh, what a blessing it is to be amongst the land of the living, to be available for God to use as his workmanship, as an instrument, to extend the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are on the internet tonight, who are listening live with Mission from the Heart Radio. I just want to say thank you again for your faithfulness to this program and that you thought it not robbery to be with us another program and another study. Again, this is Carnita Smith, and I have a special guest with me tonight, and I'm super excited to have him with us again. And I tell you, I just enjoy walking through the Word of God with Pastor Michael Crow, who is the pastor of Missionary Baptist Church here in the Houston, Texas area. And I'm sorry, Barbara's Memorial Missionary Baptist Church here in the Houston, Texas area. And I tell you, we're going to have an exciting time, just a beautiful walk through the book of Judges, and we're just going to go through that and extract out some beautiful nuggets that will enrich your soul, that will prosper your growth, your spiritual growth, and bring you to an understanding of what God, Yahweh God, Jehovah God, wants us to learn through this study. So this will be about a 3 or 4 part series on Here Comes the Judge. And Pastor Crow, I just want you to go ahead and just introduce yourself to those again who are listening faithfully, and just let them know how we are going to have a beautiful time just kind of viewing the different points that the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart to share with us as we move through this book, Judges.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sister Carnita Smith, and to the heart-to-heart audience and to those in the radio listening land. I just want to thank God for this opportunity and to share in the Word of God and to allow the Holy Spirit to open up the Scriptures. One of the things that we've been taught that the Holy Spirit is the preacher and the teacher. And it is marvelous and it is exciting when the Holy Spirit exposes the Scriptures to us and the Holy Spirit explains the Scriptures to us and we can expound on it together. I bring greetings from the Barber Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, located in the Midtown area of the city. And when Sister Carnita Smith, when you asked us to walk through the book of Judges, I just asked the Holy Spirit to just open up our eyes and show us what he wanted us to see and to tell us what he wanted us to know and to lead us into where he would have us to go. And I want to invite our listening audience, if they would, to get their Bibles and walk through the Word with us and see what God shows us. And it's a wonderful topic. Now, when you came to us, we talked about the book of Judges. The book of Judges. Now, this book takes its name from the 13 men raised up to deliver Israel after Joshua's death. Jehovah continued his personal government of Israel. Judges, this book illustrates the words of Zechariah in Zechariah 4 and 6, where God says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. It shows us how God loved Israel so much that he brought her in spite of herself. Now, this book is somewhat different from the book of Joshua. Joshua describes the process of Israel taking the land that was promised by God. But the book of Judges describes the process of possessing the land. And we're going to find out in our walk tonight that in the process of possessing the land, Israel became possessed by the Canaanites' religion, which they mixed with the worship of Yahweh. And that's an important point there, Sister Smith. And one of the things later on in our discussion I want you to bring out, how they wanted to mix the Canaanites' religion and with Yahweh. Now, many scholars would say the theme of this book is disobedience and God's faithfulness. But we're going to find out in a future study, Sister Smith, that because Israel's tendency to wander away from God, we'll find out in Judges 17, chapter 6, that each man doing what was right in his own eyes, that had to come to an end. And we'll find out, not tonight, but in future study, that Israel needed a king that would lead them into faithful worship and obedience to the Lord. And we'll find out in future study that the David kings would eventually meet that need. But the final solution would be Christ. So the book portrays a series of relapses into idolatry on the part of God's people. And in each one of those cases, it was followed by invasion of the enemy. And when their enemies invaded the promised land, they were oppressed by their enemy. Now, if you read Judges 1 and you read from the first chapter to the 26th chapter, and you see the continuing conquest of Canaan by Caleb's conquest. But when you read the 27th verse on to the 36th verse, you see where the quest was compromised, the compromise of Canaan. Why? Because of disobedience, because of idolatry, because of intermarriage with other nations. And here's one of the first nuggets, first points that I want to share with you, Sister Smith, and I want you to just comment on this. I've got three nuggets we want to share tonight, but the first nugget is the importance of obedience. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I like about God's word, because the Holy Spirit shows us through the word of God how he dealt with them then, and how he deals with us now. Even though that was the Old Testament, guess what? The Holy Spirit, thank God for the scripture, thank God for the inspired word of God, he shows us how Israel's disobedience, God dealt with them, and he deals with us the same way today. Can you Can you agree with me on that, Sister Carnita Smith, about...
Oh, yes. He definitely deals with us. And as you had me to compare this, it takes me to Galatians and how Paul was writing to the church of Galatia, and they are Galatian believers, but Paul was trying to get them to understand how important it was to not backslide, if you will, in their belief. And he wanted them to cleave to with what they've been taught through salvation or justification and sanctification, and they struggled with that. But they had these, the Judaizers coming through there and trying to persuade them to believe that they had to have salvation along with the law. And you needed to have both in order for you to be saved. And they were falling prey to that type of teaching. And so Paul had to write to them and express to them how important it is for them to not fall prey to that type of foolishness in teaching. And he said this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. And then and I'm going to read this for you, and just listen to what it says. So if you could take note, and it shows exactly what you were telling us, that you're telling us about the Israelites and Judges, Pastor Crow. And Paul states it this way in Galatians 3, verse 1. And this is in the NIV translation. It says, "You foolish Galatians." Now, Paul was just telling it plain and like it is. "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Asking them a question. "Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" And in verse 3, he asked the question, "Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit, P-I-R-T, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh?" And, of course, we know by means of the flesh is by the law. You can't do that. You've got to stay true to the Holy Spirit. And we are justified by faith, and this is what Paul was trying to teach the Galatians. Hold fast to what you have been taught. You are justified by faith, and you are sanctified by faith, not by the law and faith, only faith alone, saved by grace, and we believe by faith. And this is what God wants us to always hold fast to by faith. And I just believe that that does contrast with the Israelites in Judges on how they refuse to believe and stand steadfast by faith to Yahweh God and his promise.
Mighty good. And I think, once again, that's our first point, the importance of obedience.
Amen.
And in these closing days of grace, I know everybody have a view, and we ought to respect each other's view. But we as believers, no matter what view you have, you ought to know what you believe and why you believe it. And rather than being led by ourselves, we all be led by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit leads us, he will be obedient, and him in us will be obedient to the word of God. That's nugget number one. Now, here's another interesting nugget that we can gather from this study of the judges. Number two is human failure. Human failure. I know we live in a time, we live in an age where knowledge, information, intellect is greater than it has ever been before. God has imputed in man's mind exceptional knowledge. And some of that knowledge is for the good, and some of us use that knowledge for the bad. But in spite of all of the human things and thoughts and the humanism that we have, because we were born in sin, according to the word of God, shapen in iniquity, according to the word of God, because Adam fell in the garden, there is always in us the flesh which causes human failure. And that's what Israel experienced. They wanted to do right, but the flesh, somebody out in radio land that can agree with me, in your heart, you want to do what's right. You want to try to live the life that God can get the glory out of. But it's something on the inside. The Bible says there's a war going on. If we could use the Apostle Paul, Paul says that that I should do, I don't do that.
I don't do
that. And that I shouldn't do, that's what I like to do. And Paul, in that verse, in that scripture, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death?" Human failure, human failure. But thank be to God, just like we'll see as we travel through Judges, God's remedy for human failure, point number one, is his divine mercy. Oh, I just thank God, sister, the divine mercy. Where would we be without the mercy of God? And my pastor, Pastor C.L. Jackson, used to always teach us that, man, look here, God is not fair. Because if he was fair, he would let justice take his course. And if justice took his course, just like the law was the schoolmaster, we all guilty. I don't know about you, Sister Smith, but I'm guilty.
I'm guilty.
But thank you to God for his mercy. And I got a couple of scriptures. I'm talking about for our human failure, the antidote is God's mercy. Man, if I had time, Sister Smith, I'd take them to Psalms 23:6, where the psalmist David said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And in the Old Baptist Church, they say goodness and mercies, they cuz, or they hang around together. Because where you see goodness, you see mercy. Where would we be, Sister Smith, without the mercy of God? When we open up our eyes this morning and closed our right mind and got out in the traffic or went where we pulled the bit, where would we be if had it not been for his mercy?
Mercy.
If I had time, I'd take you to Habakkuk, that third chapter of Habakkuk, and that second verse when Habakkuk was questioning God about why is it that the wicked seem to prosper all the time. He questioned how God would allow the Chaldeans, the most evil people in the world, to chastise them. He didn't understand it. And it took to the third chapter. In the third chapter, that second verse, he said, "In thy wrath, remember mercy." Lord, you're going to do what you're going to do anyway, but just remember mercy. And I want to let somebody know that he is a merciful God. Sister Smith, I know I have 2 or 3 witnesses out there. Somebody ought to be waving their hand right there because God showed mercy in their life. Somebody said I was sitting in the club, and just when I got up, the bullet went out. Somebody said I made a right turn, and right when I made that turn, that's when the accident happened. Somebody said I was, but it's the what? Mercy of God. Can I make one more round?
Yeah.
Ephesians 2:4 says, God is rich in mercy.
Amen.
Now, Sister Smith, I want you to get Luke 14:18, because I'm going to bring out my second point to human failure. Remember, we're talking about the obedience of God, the obedience, the importance of obedience. And then we recognize, number two, through looking at the judges, looking at the Hebrew people, human failure. They meant well, but they failed. And number two, not only do we have divine mercy, but we have the deliverance power of God. God delivers. Somebody listening in radio land say, I was addicted. I had an addiction.
Yes.
But God delivered me. Somebody say, I was a mean person. But God delivered me. Somebody ought to be a witness in radio land that say, I was an envious person, but God delivers. God's antidote for human failure is divine mercy and deliverance. Wait a minute. Let me just bring up just one point, then I'll let Sister Carnita Smith. The greatest instance in God's word of his deliverance is when we go back and we see how Israel was in captivity in Egypt. I know somebody know where I'm going already. They done already turned to the page. And Pharaoh refused to let them go.
Them go.
He wanted to do battle with the Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
Moses told him what God said, let my people go.
Oh.
And Pharaoh refused. And because he refused, and once again, I thank God for his word, we can look and the Holy Spirit can show us, according to the word of God, of how he delivered Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh. I got to stop right here, Sister Cornelia Smith. I wouldn't be a preacher if I didn't just stall right here. He delivered somebody out of the hands of their own Pharaoh.
Amen.
I know I'm right tonight. Somebody was held captive. Somebody was imprisoned. Somebody had a Pharaoh, Lord have mercy, that would not let them go. And boy, I wish you called in tonight. I know I ain't wrong. But God delivered you out of your Egypt. And not only did he deliver you out of your Egypt, he brought you across your Red Sea. Not only did he bring you across your Red Sea, he brought you through the wilderness and fed you manna from heaven. He brought you through your wilderness and your shoes never wore out. I'm talking about your spiritual shoes. He brought you through the wilderness and your clothes never wore out. Somebody in radio land has been delivered by God. I know somebody's shouting right now because I'm almost about to shout because I'm a kidney patient. And I tell that story to Cornelius Smith. Nobody. I was on dialysis for 3.5 years. And I went to dialysis and I stayed on the machine 4 hours and 30 minutes each time I went. And I was on it for 3.5 years, but God delivered me with a kidney transplant some 8 years ago. Because he give man the knowledge of, and thank God for the kidney machine. Thank God for the transplant surgery. But God is the doctor that, Lord have mercy, he delivered me. But wait a minute now. Let me hear. You got them. One nugget was the importance of obedience.
Yeah.
The next nugget was human failure. And we understand that the antidote for human failure is divine mercy and deliverance. Let me just close this little point out. And we're going to move on with what Jesus said in Luke 4:18. Do you have that, Sister Carnita?
Yes, I do. Luke 4:18, correct?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to read this in the New King James Translation. And it reads this way. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed.
Lord have mercy. In one translation, it says, to preach deliverance to the captive. And Sister Hart, that's why I thank God for you, and that's why I thank God for what he is doing in you, through you, and for you, because every time God puts you over the airwaves, you allow the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to people that are here captive.
Amen.
And to let them know that in spite of their human failure, the divine mercy of God and the delivering power of God can free them. Now, I got one more point, then we're going to move on down, and I'm going to give you a chance to elaborate a little bit. The next part, the next nugget, we know the importance of obedience. Human failure with the antidote of divine mercy and deliverance. And the third nugget in this lesson that we'll see in the Judges, that we study this lesson, the power of prayer. I know you thought I was going to say something real hard or something doctrinally where you had to go get. No. The power of prayer. Because as we study this lesson and we go through, you'll see that every time Israel found themselves in a situation because they did evil in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says they cried unto God, and God delivered. Wait a minute. Crying to God is really just prayer. They prayed to God. I should have picked up a few more witnesses right there, Sister Smith. Somebody going to call in tonight and let us know that, look here, I hear you, preacher, because I had to cry to him myself. They cried unto God when they looked at their human failure, when they repented of their sin, when they realized and the Holy Spirit opened their eyes and saw them that they missed the mark. Guess what they did? They cried unto God. And I want to let you know today, wherever you at, whatever you doing, if this word reach you tonight, and God show you your human failure, and God show you, remind you of his divine mercy, God show you of his delivering power, that right where you are, you can get on your knees and cry to him and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where can I go? Father, I messed up. I did it wrong. Please forgive me. And let me tell you something. I can't tell you that without giving you some scripture to back that up. I'm going to let her get Acts 16:32, because I don't want to just be saying something and like streams of conscience, and don't let the word back it up. And then she can get the 1 Kings 7-9. But let me take you to Genesis 32:26. And Jacob will tell you when he wrestled all night long. Jacob 32:26 said he cried for help. Lord have mercy. Jacob what? Cried unto the Lord. He said, I ain't going to let you go till you bless me. Somebody here read that. You can cry to God. You can get on your knee. Now, Sister Smith, at my church, Holy Spirit has to remind me now, you know, when we come down to praying, we have to take prayer real serious because God gave Israel the promise. He promised Abraham. He said, your seeds, biological and your faithful seed. He said, I'm going to promise you the father of the faithful. He said, I promise you that I'm going to keep my word. And guess what? We saw what happened between Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was older, but it was Isaac that got the promise because God what promised him a child.
That's
and
right.
And guess what? He gave Israel the promise. But what he did, when Ishmael's mother went out into the desert, somebody here know this story, trying to get away, God came to her. He said, now, your son can't get the promise, but I'm going to give him the provision. I'm going to provide for him. And boy, I tell you, God is a provider. And if you look up the history, you'll see that he provided real well. But I'm shouting tonight because he gave the church prayer. Somebody walking around here with a weapon stronger than a nuclear bomb and don't even use it.
Amen.
Somebody walking around here with, think because they got a Smith & Wesson long barrel, think that's it, and got prayer and don't even use it.
Mm.
Prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have. Don't be afraid to get on your knees and call on him. Now, you can fool me, but you can't fool him. But Habakkuk taught us that God communicates to man through prophecy, and man communicates to God through prayer. And I dare you, I triple team, double dog, dare anybody in this radio listening land, when you realize that you have not been obedient, and you realize your human failure, and you realize the divine mercy of God, and the Holy Spirit opening you up to the delivering power of God, that you can fall on your knees and cry out to him. Wait a minute. Give me Exodus 32 and 31. Somebody don't believe me, Sister Cornelia Smith. I think Moses cried out.
Genesis 32 and 31.
Exodus 32, chapter, the 31st verse. Then we'll go to 1 Kings 3:7-9 to let you know that you can cry to him. And let me tell you something, let me tell you this before you read this, because Sister Cornelia Smith, because I won't get this straight, because like, folks like to joke about, especially the Baptist church, how folks, the deacons pray them long prayers and joke about, you know, and really the most, the best prayer you can pray is the Lord's Prayer, the one that jumped out of Matthew. But let me tell you something. You don't be afraid. I call it one of them get ugly prayers. I'm talking about when you first wake up in the morning. I'm talking about before you brush your teeth, before you comb your hair, before you get all prettied up. You can fall on your knees, hair uncombed, breath still smelling, pajamas still on, and you can close the world out and close yourself in with him, and you can cry out to him, and he will hear your cry. I should have picked up some more witnesses right there. Give me some more. Sister Connie, what happened with Moses? What happened with Moses?
Okay, and that's Exodus 32, verse 31?
32, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned, a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now I thou will forgive their sin, and if not, at me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written.
Verse 32. Lord have mercy. What did Solomon say? Let me call the roll. Did Solomon cry out in 1 Kings 3:7-9?
3:7-9. Solomon said this in 1 Kings 3:7-9. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this by so great a people? Verse 9.
This lets you know you can. Moses had a cry of intercession. Solomon had a cry for wisdom. Like that Philippian jailer in Acts 16. Read that, Sister Smith.
Acts 16:32. Okay. And it says, for thy spake unto him the word of the Lord. This is Acts 16:32. And thy spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. And he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house.
Lord.
Keep reading. Amen.
He cried, and if you go up a little bit, he cried for what? Salvation.
Yeah, verse 28. But Paul cried with a. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Now that's Acts 16.
Watch this. Now somebody said, "Well, now preacher, I hear you, but now what does that have to do with the judge?" Okay, well, here come the judge. Here come the judge. Now, if you go to Judges chapter 2, and I want Sister Smith, as she turned to Judges chapter 2, and you look at verses 1 through 6, and this is, we have to keep in mind that in Judges 1, as they continued, and Caleb continued with taking the land that God had given them, God gave them some instructions. And each one of the tribes failed to do exactly what God told them to do. God told them to go and destroy and to take and to kill what? All of them. And if you read And if you read that, you'll see where in the King James Version, you see the incomplete victory of Judah. You see the incomplete victory of Benjamin. You see the incomplete victory of Manasseh.
Mm-hmm.
All because they were what? Disobedient. Read verse 1 through 6.
I'm sorry?
Judges chapter 2, verse 1 through 6.
And it reads this way. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swore unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my commandment with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as a thorn in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Verse 4, and it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Verse 5, and they called the name of that place Bochim, or Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And verse 6, and when Joshua had left the people, let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land.
There's a saying that I was taught by my pastor, is that when you follow where he leads and you eat where he feeds, you shall not want.
Amen.
God gave instructions in that first chapter. He told them what to do, but they didn't do all what God told them to do.
Right.
And somebody in Radio Land, God told you to do something. God gave you some instructions. God gave you a song. God gave you a testimony. And you have yet to do what he instructed you to do. Now, one thing about our Father, now, he didn't say when you're disobedient, you're going to hell. Because when our children are disobedient, we can't kill them. But what they do, we can chastise them. And they miss out on their blessing. Because you something that you would have did for them because they were disobedient, you didn't do for them. And somebody out there have missed out or is missing out on your blessing because of your disobedience. And God said that I'm going to take that same enemy and make him a thorn in your side because you didn't do what I told you to do. Wait a minute. So that guy, it went through 6 Judges 2 that brought disobedience. Now watch, verses 7 through 15, Sister Smith, brought defeat from that enemy.
Yes.
7 through 15
reads this way. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, and he did for Israel, that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Here, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Ga'ash. Also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and those there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. That's another generation, Pastor Crow.
And that's what happened today.
The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal, or Baal. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger.
Lord.
Now that's verse 12.
Going on to 15.
And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Asherah. And the anger of the Lord was so hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies around about. So
somebody is defeated.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Somebody defeated right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because of their disobedience.
Because of their disobedience.
Defeat. Now we got what? Disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And disobedience brings on what? Defeat. That's why you can't, you say you're going to quit doing this and that, but you can't stop doing it. The Holy Spirit don't stop it. In. And you don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit because you ain't been going to Bible study. You don't listen to nobody. I wish I had somebody. So you already defeated. But wait a minute. Wait a minute, Sister Smith. And I want you to get that 16 through that 19, but this brings me right back around to where I started at. Because even though in verses 1 through 6 they were disobedient, and even though through verse 7 to 15 they were defeated by the enemy, God loved them so much that verses 16 through 19, he delivered them. I wish I had somebody today.
Amen, amen. 16th. The 16th verse. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them. Here comes the judge. Raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those foiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring around other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them, and ceased not from their own doing nor from their stubborn way. And 20, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel.
Let me just say this, Cardita, I'm gonna let you take over because I'm happy right now. I'm almost about to shout, and I don't want you to all the time. And maybe we can go to Judges 3 next week. But the importance of obedience, human failure, and the antidote for human failure, the remedy for human failure is divine mercy. And when we get divine mercy, we get what? Deliverance from God. Now, even though we're still in the flesh and look at God delivering, just like he did Israel, and we might fall back again because he what loves us so much if we really repent. But even in our disobedience, even in our defeat, God loves us so much. And maybe next week we can go to Judges chapter 3 and look at the first judge. See how God dealt with them. I turn it back over to you, Sister Carnita, because I want to thank God for this opportunity. And I thank God for let us take a look at how he dealt with Israel then. And I want to let you know he's an unchanging God. He does the same thing now. And you know, Sister Smith, you know me.
Yeah.
When Jesus said he came to preach the gospel, now all that what I said is pretty good spiritual talk, pretty good doctrinal knowledge, but he loved us so much that when Adam fell in the garden, he sent us the judge.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus Christ. I have to throw the gospel in that, but we'll pick up next week on chapter 3. Thank you so much.
This surely has been some rich nuggets for us tonight, and I just thank God for Pastor Crow and his obedience to the Holy Spirit since we're walking this journey this evening on Here Comes the Judge and learning about disobedience and defeat and deliverance. I tell you, these have been some rich nuggets. And I just pray and hope that you absorb this into your spirit, your spirit man, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to set you free from disobedience and allow the Holy Spirit to bring you freedom. You are victorious in every giant that we come up against in our lives, in our daily lives, and know that our deliverer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our deliverer. And Pastor Crow, the Israelites, they just were so stubborn. And as you said, that in the very beginning, you said that what they did in, I think it was in 17, Judges 17, verse 6, they did what they thought was right. Every man went about their own way in doing what they thought was right. And it just seems to me in this first few verses of Judges, they just couldn't seem to get it together. Now, aren't we like that from time to time, or are we like that most of the time? As the Israelites, they seem to want God's blessing, but they weren't willing to obey his command.
Yeah, right.
That's us.
No,
you see that?
You know, mm-hmm. That brings a point. That brings a point. And I was taught this. I studied this a long time ago, and this is a good thought to remember. See, when you look at the two works of grace, the first work of grace after the fall of man, God, through the law, through the ordinance, through the Ten Commandments and all the ordinance, he allowed man another chance to communicate with him. He reconciled them back again, but they had to go through true worship. They had to have the offering. They had to have the sacrifice. They had to have the altar. And from this, it was something that they had to do. But in the end results, just like we're seeing now, they couldn't do it. They wanted to be righteous, but they ended up being self-righteous. So in the second work of grace, Sister Smith, he came himself. He said, I'm not going to put it on you this time. He said, I'm going to come down to the 42 generation, born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, according to the word of God. And he said, I'm going to do it myself. And all you got to do is let my Holy Spirit work through you on the seat of your heart. In other words, they couldn't do it, Sister Smith.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it. So he came and did it for us.
So true
worship. All we
got to
do is have him. Isn't that a blessing?
Yes. Yeah, true worship is the response, I remember you saying, of the soul, correct?
Praise is the response
of
the soul to the revelation
of God. That's it.
Ain't our physical hand where we clap? Ain't our physical mouth where we say what we sing? Mary, when she realized God had blessed her, she said, my soul doeth magnify the Lord. That's praise.
Let's pray. Amen. So it just helps me to better understand and see myself that I do need a Savior, as the Israelites needed to get it together. And as we move through the next chapters of Judges, they just can't seem to do that. It appears as they want to, as we move forward through the other chapters of Judges, as they cry out, but somehow or another they just miss the mark. They just fall short. But thank God for his mercy on them as well as us now. And thank God for his saving grace that gives us another chance to get it together.
Amen.
And by way of the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor Crowe, before we run out of time, I would love for you to pray for someone who may be listening, or someone that God may call tomorrow or days going forward to listen to this program by way of somebody out there. It might be you listening live. It might be you on the internet, that God would use you out of obedience. You will follow and lead them to this program, because somebody needs to listen to Here Comes the Judge. And they need to receive what God has from them, for them, through this teaching. So Pastor Crowe, if you would, pray for those that are listening and for someone that may be led to this teaching tonight and the future teachings in order to receive what the Lord wants them to receive out of this teaching series, Here Comes the Judge.
Amen. All heads bowed, all eyes closed, and all hearts lifted. Our Father in heaven, we come now at this specific time, this specific place, for this specific purpose, to say thank you. Thank you, first of all, for your word.
Thank you.
Where would we be without your word? Thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
We need your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then thank you for the Judge, Jesus Christ, your Son, that you sent to save our soul. We want to say thank you.
Thank
now we pray right now, there might be somebody in radio land, somebody listening somewhere around the countries, somewhere around the world, that they heard the word. I don't matter about them hearing me, but I want them to hear the Holy Spirit through me, because faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. Somebody heard you through your Holy Spirit. And we pray that by them hearing the word, the Holy Spirit prick their hearts.
Yes.
Make them want to be obedient. Make them want to cry to you. Somebody don't know you in the pardoning of their sin. We pray that they come to know who you are. We pray your saving power on them right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and establish a relationship with him. We pray that there might be somebody that know you in the pardoning of their sin, but they backslid. They didn't draw near to you. They went backwards when you said go forward. They sat down when you said stand up. They've been disobedient, but they want a renewed spirit. We pray right now you renew that spirit.
Please.
We pray now you draw them near in the name of Jesus. Pray they cry out to you and experience your divine mercy and your deliverance power. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you now for heart to heart. We thank you for what you're doing in Sister Smith and for Sister Smith and through Sister Smith to get the word of the Lord out to those that may want to hear. Thank you now. Thank you for your marvelous technology that can let your word flow all over the world. We thank you.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for showing us in your word that in spite of ourselves, you love us so much. Thank you now. Bless your holy name. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise him, praise him, praise him. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this brings us to the end of another beautiful program, another beautiful teaching of God's holy word. And please meet us again next Thursday as we pick up with Series 2 and Here Comes the Judge. And Judges 3, Pastor Crow and I will continue to navigate through this book to show the beauty and the love of God. So just always remember that the grass, it fades away, the flowers, they wither away, but the word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you, and thank you for being a part and listening to Mission from the Heart Radio. And this brings us to the end of the program. God bless you. Remain in his will and remain obedient to the Holy Spirit. Good night.
Good night.